The following previously recorded program features Kenneth G. Romanzi, the former Senior Vice President and Chief Operation Officer of Ocean Spray Cranberries. If you run a business large or small, get ready to take a lot of notes, because it's time for a solid hour of business insights and strategies for success on Mind Your Business. And here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing, Yitzhak Saflis.
Thank you for joining me on another edition of Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC. Well, it's another great show that we have in store for you. Many of the listeners have actually given me great feedback over the weeks. And actually, last week we had a great interview with Saul N. Friedman and Simeon Friedman from Saul Friedman & Company on a lot of fascinating tidbits and advice on mergers, acquisitions, evaluating a business, etc. Of course, there's still tons of feedback coming in about the interview that we had with Captain Sully Sullenberger. And as you noticed, I'm jumping straight to the interviewees because that's really what makes this show so special. And as George Flowers, the great producer here, has in his promo for the show, make sure to have a pen and paper handy, or I guess certainly for the millennials, have that, the iPad, and I don't want to say laptops because that's also not for millennials. They don't know what that is, basically. But the iPads, they certainly do know, and any other new cool gadgets that are out there. But be at the ready, because tonight on this show, we have none other than Kenneth G. Romanzi. Some background about our guest that we somehow were able to get. Actually, we were able to get him through a very good mutual friend, Jonathan Gassman. I guess we'll get to him in a little bit. We got to get our jabs in and our shout-outs because he's a wonderful individual, a very good friend of both of us, and he really orchestrated and was able to get us such a guest as Ken Romanzi. Ken serves as the Senior Vice President and Chief Operating Officer of Ocean Spray Cranberries. Previously, Mr. Romanzi served as president of the U.S. Toys Division of Hasbro. Overall, Ken has a number of decades in senior management and in C-level positions at Balducci's Direct, Nabisco, the Naked Juice Company, Cadbury Schweppes. With that intro, we'll go straight to the interview. We give a warm welcome to Ken Romanzi. Ken, how are you?
Very good. Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
Well, I appreciate that, and thank you for being with us here on the Mind.
I've long been a listener to ABC Radio, having grown up right outside of New York. So I've been since childhood.
Well, thank you. They certainly appreciate that, and George appreciates that too. Okay, now perhaps for this interview, I usually don't put my interviewees on the spot, but let's go a little bit down memory lane. Where did you actually go to school? I mean, because you have an incredible listing where you've performed and in these senior level management positions. Where did it all start from? If I can ask, not elementary necessarily, but where'd you get your schooling?
Well, I went to college right outside of Boston at a little business school called Babson College. Mm-hmm. I was lucky enough at 18 years old to know that I wanted business, and that's what that school's all about. You really can't major in anything but business. While it has an array of lots of liberal arts courses you can take, it really is for people who early on know they want to be in the business world, and I just kind of knew that early on, and Babson's a small school, and it's known for basically bringing entrepreneurship education to America.
Hmm. So again, about this Babson, this is interesting. I imagine that perhaps listeners in our audience would not have been familiar with it. What makes this Babson College different from another college?
Well, what really makes Babson different is that entrepreneurism is in its DNA. While many other schools, the best in the country, like Harvard, Wharton, Stanford, MIT, countless schools that have business schools, entrepreneurship there is a division of amongst many divisions. At Babson, starting in the late 70s by then-president Ralph Sorensen, Mm-hmm. They decided that entrepreneurship was going to be strewn throughout the entire DNA of the school. So the school has broken many new territories and established a lot of new teaching methods in terms of teaching people how to think entrepreneurially. And it's basically woven throughout the whole school. So there's a lot of coordinated teaching. So, for instance, you can take classes with a professor that teaches growth and innovation with a professor also that teaches organizational behavior in terms of coaching and developing people and organizations. And you would take that course in an integrated fashion. It has a breakthrough course called FME for freshmen, where they actually have to get into groups. They get seed money to start a business, run the business, and then dissolve the business all within their freshman year. And any profits they make go to charity. Hmm. And they learn the traditional business disciplines, financial accounting, business management, finance, in a context of the business that they have to start, market, and then dissolve.
Hmm. Now, it is always an interesting question that people ask. Is there a percentage, or even in your mind, a preference that a professor actually had some prior experience in the actual business world?
That always helps. Quite frankly, it's changed over the years. I'm a trustee of Babson College today. Okay. When I graduated over 30 years ago, I seem to remember a tremendous amount of my professors, a very high percentage, had practical business experience or either had run or were running their own company. So, for instance, my two organizational behavior professors had their own organizational behavior consulting firm. My two accounting professors also worked in accounting either previously or while teaching. Today, practical experience absolutely matters. In fact, the students today are asking for more and more and more of that. But in not atypical to a typical educational environment and institutional, the traditional academic degrees like master's and doctorates count a lot for being a professor there. Having said that, we do have a fair amount of visiting professors that were in the business world before and now have decided to teach, whether it's in retirement or in part-time.
Yeah, it's interesting. When I went to FIT to develop my career, I had a teacher there, Martin Solomon, and he actually had designed the logo for Fisher-Price. And I remember it was so not just cool, but there was a certain sense of, wow, this guy really could walk the walk, talk the talk. He designed a logo for Fisher-Price. And then we had actually, I remember my photography teacher was Irving Schild. He actually shot photography for DuPont and for Mad Magazine.
Wow. But he probably didn't only design that logo. He probably also had to sell it internally to his management and then ultimately be part of the team selling it to the client, which is, you know, that's the other half of the equation. Design's the one half, and then getting it approved is the whole other half of the equation.
A great point. Let's move along to your bread and butter, but your experience is in a tremendous amount of experiences in consumer packaged goods. How did you, at what point was it in Babson College? At what point did you say, you know what, consumer packaged goods, that's me, that's Ken?
That's a great question. Well, first of all, when I went to Babson, as I said, I wanted to be in business. And at Babson, while they teach you how to run a business, few graduates actually go out right away and start their own business. Many do, but it's only about 10 or 15% of graduates. Oftentimes, later on in their careers, people would get, you know, start their own business. And I had my own business in college and decided not to continue with it. But I always knew I wanted to run a business. I just didn't even have the idea or the money or the guts to actually try it on my own. And I was recruited to Frito-Lay in their brand management program. And that's one of the ultimate consumer packaged goods companies.
Right.
And the way that I found Frito-Lay was I graduated in 1982. In 1980, they started recruiting on campus because the then vice president of marketing at Frito-Lay had asked his direct marketing directors to not only consider graduate business schools, but that's where they would recruit young assistant product managers at all the great graduate business schools in the country, Harvard, Wharton, Tufts, Northwestern, and so on and so on. And he was getting frustrated. Now, this is back in 1980, of the rising cost of the MBA. And he asked his folks, hey, why don't you get some undergraduates, and maybe we pay them a little less, and we're going to teach them the Frito-Lay way anyway. Why don't you try to do that? And they said, well, okay, where do you suggest we go? And he said, well, try a couple schools. Try the University of Pennsylvania, which has a terrific undergraduate business program, and try where I went, Babson College. And they said, Babson what? They never even heard of it. To make a long story short, in 1980, they found a good friend of mine named Peter McNally, who at 22 years old was well beyond his years. He started as the only undergraduate ever to start in the marketing department at Frito-Lay. And he performed at the top of his incoming class. And in 1981, they came back and got two more people. In 1982, they came and got me. We basically went back every year to find one or two of the best leaders on campus. Ironically, the vice president of marketing of Babson College in 1980 was a fellow by the name of Roger Enrico, one of the preeminent executives ever in the history of consumer packaging as the former CEO of PepsiCo. So that's how I arrived. When I saw Peter McNally come back after being at Frito-Lay 9 months to come recruit, I was actually sitting with a good friend of mine. I was a junior. He was a senior. And they gave a pitch and said, here's careers in brand management, and here's a career at Frito-Lay and what it looks like. And we turned to each other at that time, and we both said, that's the job we want. He went on to become one of the folks that went in 1981. And I, of course, had to wait a whole other year for them to come back as a senior to go in 1982. It's literally the only job I wanted coming out of Babson.
Wow. Wow. Now, just some notes to programming notes. I want to let everyone know you're tuned to the Mind Your Business program here on 77 WABC. Later on in the program, we are actually going to have a corporate spotlight on Best Payroll with Hadley Margolis, the president of Best Payroll. We're going to talk with him about some payroll management, payroll tips, etc., on how that works. If you want to follow me there on social media, you could connect with me on LinkedIn. You could like me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter, Yitzchok Saftlas, YITZCHOK SAFTLAS. And, of course, the dedicated website for this particular radio show, WABCBizRadio.com, WABCBizRadio.com, is an excellent way to hear all the podcasts of all the previous shows. We had on Captain Sully Sullenberger a number of weeks back. We had on Matt Britton, the CEO of MRY, and so many other spectacular guests. But tonight we're on with Ken Romanzi. And and now I'm going to continue with some of the questions here. And again, thank you so much for taking of your precious time to be with us. What does it take to be successful in a consumer package industry?
That's a good question. I always tell folks that, first of all, the reason why I love consumer packaged goods is while I always wanted to run a business but didn't really figure out my own business to run. I've been running businesses for other people, meaning within big companies, for the past 33 years. So I have found an ability to satisfy all of my entrepreneurial tendencies with doing it for other people in large and small type companies. What I've always found to be very successful, and what I always tell students coming out of school and young folks in consumer packaged goods, and I happen to have most of my experience in the food and beverage business, but it applies to all consumer packaged goods, is if you treat the business like your own, you'll be successful. If you treat the money as your own, if you have a passion for the business, you're not just there to babysit the business, you're really there to nurture the brand you're working on, leave it in better shape than when you found it, and have a lot of passion for what you do, it counts for a lot. So if you really treat running the business as your own, you just can't go wrong.
Now, it's very interesting you say that, because is it possible for someone to rise at a top without having, quote-unquote, skin in the game? Is it possible, even?
Quite frankly, as I even hear myself answer the question, you know, you have to have passion for whatever you do. You have to have passion for being a successful radio host. You have to be have a passion if you're gonna you know, play at New York Philharmonic. But there are a lot of people who, you know, do show up just to get a paycheck, and sometimes in a large company, you know, you could probably survive for a while and just kind of be mediocre. But to truly be successful, to your point, you can't just check in. To really be at the top of your game, you have to have a tremendous amount of passion. And like I said, in consumer packaged goods, since you're running a business, you're running a P&L, treating it as if your own, I think, is the, you know, passion works for everything, but really treating the business as if your own is clearly what I think differentiates the average performer to the breakout performer.
Hmm.
And it takes guts, because when you're young, you know, when I was a brand manager, you know, I got into a very heated, let's call it a heated discussion with the president of Frito-Lay. You know, I'm 25 years old, and I'm a brand manager, and I got into a heated discussion as to what next flavor we should roll out on Ruffles potato chips and what the graphics should look like. He wanted to go in one direction. I wanted to go to another. And we were standing in the front of a mock, you know, a mock grocery store setup, and he looked at me and almost pointed his finger in my chest and said, "You got to remember, Ken, that this is not your brand. This is my brand." I said, "With all due respect, though, you pay me to treat this like my business, and that's why I'm fighting so hard for this way, because I know this business really well. And with all due respect to your opinion, this is the way we should go." And I still have in my fund file signature of the document that approved those graphics, where he signs it amongst all the vice presidents of the company, and then he finally signed it, and he signed it in parentheses under duress.
That's such a great story. So he respected it in the end, right? I'm saying he respected it.
Ultimately, and he was not an easy guy to push back on, but I did, and he respected that, and we went that way, and actually most of the graphics you see today on Ruffles potato chips were what we implemented back in 1986. They have changed a little since then.
Wow. Wow. Well, we're going to take a short commercial break here on the Mind Your Business program on 77 WABC. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a moment.
Join the upcoming Day of Jewish Unity on Tuesday, September 8th. Jews worldwide will gather in prayer during this time of danger and peril. In just 3 weeks, Congress will vote on the Iran nuclear agreement, with consequences of epic proportions hanging in the balance for the future of Jewish people and democracies worldwide. The Jewish nation must join together and act now. A projected 500,000 Jews will turn to their age-old weaponry and wage war. Prayer. Show your support by committing to participate. Visit JewishUnity.com. As we approach the high holidays, join approximately 500,000 Jews in reciting Psalms chapters 20 and 130 on Tuesday, September 8th between 7 a.m. and 12 noon Eastern Time. To learn more or to join as a corporation, visit DayOfJewishUnity.com. It's a time of danger, and we must act together. It's a time of unity, a time to entreat the Almighty for the sake of the future of the Jewish nation and democracies across the globe. Join this Day of Unity and pray that Congress be enlightened to make the correct choice for a better future. Visit JewishUnity.com. Tuesday, September 8th, a Day of Jewish Unity.
Your company website is crucial to your success, providing information about your services and programs. It has to deliver just the right message, the right way, to make customers excited about what you offer and interested in working with you. Online, you have to be on the money to make the money. So go with the best. Website with Brains. Their experienced team will plan, write, design, and program a winning website that combines simplicity and flexibility with powerful features that will make you the king of content marketers. And they make it so easy. All of their websites are made with an easy, user-friendly interface. Website with Brains will have your new website up and running within 4 to 6 weeks. Take control of your online marketing today. Call Website with Brains for a free consultation and see how they can improve your online presence. 1-800-WEB-9018. That's 1-800-WEB-9018. Or visit them online at websitewithbrains.com.
We're back on the Mind Your Business program on 77 WABC. And our guest this week is Ken Romanzi, the Senior Vice President and Chief Operating Officer at Ocean Spray Cranberries. Ken, what are some of the great brands that you've managed in your great career?
Oh, gosh. There's been so many great brands, starting at Frito-Lay, Ruffles potato chips, Doritos, tortilla chips, Cadbury Schweppes, the Schweppes soft drink brand around the world, a great brand that's been in America now for, gosh, since the late 1800s. At Nabisco, had a chance to work and sell as part of a head of sales, the great Oreo brand, one of the best food brands in all of history. Mm-hmm. I met one of my favorite brands managing was in a small company, a brand called Naked Juice. When I took over that juice company, Naked Juice was not distributed east of the Rockies, and we basically expanded that business nationally. It was owned by a private equity firm, and we basically got it ready to sell to a company that could do a lot more with it. And PepsiCo finally bought it, and now PepsiCo's got Naked Juice in distribution all over. It's now, I think at retail, it's now a $1 billion brand, which is really remarkable, since I managed it when it was from like $70 million to about $120 million in sales. Mm. And so to see PepsiCo do what they could do with a brand, it's just terrific. I think my all time favorite brand that I've been managing now for over a decade is Ocean Spray. Just a wonderful brand. Consumers have a real love affair with it. It's a powerful brand, and just a great example of a food product that can taste good and be good for you all at the same time.
Now, we're obviously talking about many different brands here. Is there any secrets for successfully managing a brand?
Well, you know, it's funny. A lot of times I've taken over brands where they had lost momentum or they were in decline or lost a little luster. And for me, particularly with a marketing background, although I've been doing marketing sales and started general management since 1993, I'm always going to take an approach from a marketing perspective and a consumer perspective. And whenever I've run into any issue or adopted a brand that had issues, I always went back to the core of what the brand stood for and always looked for inspiration as to when the brand started or what the founder did with the brand. A great example was Ruffles was having trouble, and we were in a focus groups, and we were trying to figure out how to develop a new advertising campaign for Ruffles, and consumers kept saying, "Ruffles have bridges, Ruffles have bridges, Ruffles have bridges," and I turned to the people from the company, and so I was new to the brand, and the advertising agency, I said, "You know, I remember that campaign. When's the last time it ran?" And they said, like, 1965. I said, wait a second. We have consumers who are absolutely saying Ruffles have bridges, and we haven't aired that since 20 years. I said, I don't know what we're going to do, but we're definitely going to bring back Ruffles who have bridges in some way, shape, or form. because we're not going to try to reinvent the wheel. If that's already occupies a dominant place in people's mind, the job of the marketer is to figure out how to polish that off, refresh it, make it right for today, but bring it back. And we did. It was on the packaging. We brought it back in advertising, and it ultimately led to a turnaround in the brand. Then the same thing for Schweppes. Certainly did it on Ocean Spray, which had lost its way for quite a number of years until we launched a whole new advertising and public relations campaign.
Now, and on that note, soon I want to talk about the fascinating co-op model of business at Ocean Spray. But before we get to that, I just want to dovetail into your previous answer. What was the situation like when you arrived at Ocean Spray?
Ocean Spray had gone into some tough times. They had about 10 years of flat to declining sales, and they had just come out. Ocean Spray is a grower cooperative, as we'll get into, mm-hmm. But they were considering actually selling a piece of the business to Pepsi. And the grower owners of Ocean Spray narrowly defeated that vote back in, I think it was 2004 when the vote occurred. And so imagine you had a lot of people in the company worried about being taken over, possibly, you know, losing their jobs, being consolidated into a much bigger company. The business was not really doing very well. So morale was pretty low. And when I was hired by an old colleague of mine, Randy Papadelis, the CEO of the company, I came in like Peter Cottontail, right? I didn't live with any of that past. I didn't have to go through the negative effects of a possible takeover.
Right, clean slate
for
you.
I was there to just grow the business. So So I was a little bit like a fish out of water, a little bit, because everybody kind of had their heads down. And here I come in with all them and vigor and enthusiasm, because I really believe that the brand had terrific growth potential. And it was through Randy's advice and encouragement and support that allowed me to quickly get everybody focused on the future rather than, you know, wringing your hands about the past, which is natural in any organization that goes through that much upheaval.
Right. Wow. By the way, who is to frame the competition of Open Spray? Who is in that set of a competitor to Ocean Spray?
Well, like any business, it all depends on how you define the market. Right. In the juice business, you know, Ocean Spray has got a pretty large share, more than a two-thirds share of the cranberry juice business. But Ocean Spray competes with so much more. It competes in a much larger juice category. And even the way that Ocean Spray products get consumed, it competes with really all non-alcoholic liquid refreshment beverages. So at some point, everything kind of interacts with everything. Soft drinks and waters and teas and isotonics and juices, at some point, they all kind of interact. So, there's not a lot of big competition in cranberry. In cranberry, in particular, private label is the largest competitor. In the juice business, all of the big competition are big players like Campbell Soup, who owns the V8 brand. And then, of course, you've got Coke and Pepsi, who own Minute Maid and Tropicana and Edwalla and Naked Juice and so on and so forth. So some of the Nestle owns some juice brands for a while. So the competition for Ocean Spray is they're much, much larger food and beverage companies.
We're speaking with Kenneth G. Romanzi, the Chief Operating Officer at Ocean Spray Cranberries. This is something when I was doing the research and when we actually spoke beforehand, we talked a little bit about this co-op model. This is something that's just fascinating because I don't normally hear of this type of approach. Could you please tell us a little bit about the co-op business model of Ocean Spray?
Well, the co-op model actually exists in a few of the brands that you may have in your pantry at home. Ocean Spray is a co-op. Welch's is a co-op. Sunkist, anything branded Sunkist would be owned by the Sunkist Growers of California. Land O'Lakes is a co-op. So there are a lot of co-ops in your pantry at home. Sun Made Raisins, that's a co-op. Sun Sweet Prunes, that's a co-op. In the co-op model, for Ocean Spray, the farmers own their farms independently, but they join the co-op to have a secure home for their fruit. And so they don't have to go worry about selling their fruit at the end of the year. The co-op will take all the fruit that they can grow off of a fixed amount of acres that is entered into the co-op. And then the co-op then takes it over from their farms, and then we process that fruit and manufacture products and sell all the products. And hopefully we do that all within about a year, because that crop's coming every October. While they own their farms individually, and they run their farms individually, they own the company, the brand, collectively, and we as management run the company for them, reporting to a board of directors that are mostly 13 of the 15 board of directors are grower owners of the regions that they represent.
Now, once we're talking about the cranberry, and of course that's such a delicious fruit, actually, how did Ocean Spray reintroduce the cranberry to America? Or is it fair to say that it kind of wasn't such a hot fruit before Ocean Spray really, you know, bursted into the marketplace?
Well, for decades, Ocean Spray had been very, very successful with selling cranberry and making really what it's delicious after we process it. But cranberries are kind of almost inedible just off the plant. They're very bitter. Mother Nature didn't give them a lot of natural sugar. But mixing cranberry with sweeteners and other fruits really add a lot of great taste and texture to either the fruits or the juices that we make and sell. And the reintroducing the cranberry to America came from the fact that cranberries are indigenous to North America, meaning they were one of only three native North American fruits. And when Ocean Spray was launched in markets outside of the United States, our international people at Ocean Spray had to teach people what a cranberry was. And they had a very specific formula. They did not have big advertising budgets to go into places like England and France and Japan and Australia. They had to introduce people to cranberry, what it is, And talk about the unique taste. Nothing else tastes like cranberry. The unique health benefits. The cranberry has antibacterial properties within your system. And then the unique heritage of the cranberry, the fact that it was discovered by Native Americans in the wild. They used it for foods, dyes, and medicines. They introduced it to the Pilgrims the first Thanksgiving and really mainstreamed it into the early American diet. And then Ocean Spray, of course, popularized it through advertising and product innovation. Had a long history of innovating around cranberry and cranberry products. When I came in running the U.S. business and saw what they were doing internationally, the concept we came up with, even though around that time it was about a $900 million revenue business, but it was declining for years, we said, let's assume that consumers in America don't know about the cranberry. And let's reintroduce the cranberry to America, just like our international counterparts have done so successfully in all of these other markets. Let's just assume people don't know about it. So that's what we did. We assumed nobody knew what the cranberry was, and we assumed that they didn't know where it came from, and that's the approach we took to reintroduce people and really turned it into another new hot fruit, even though the fruit had been around for many, many decades.
Which is so smart, because in an advertising campaign, a marketing campaign, if we go with the approach that people do not know what the product is all about or the story behind it, et cetera, we'll probably, in most cases, will be far more effective, because then if anything, we may over-communicate, but at least we're going to be doing a decent job to the many who really don't know about it. Rather, I mean, I've sometimes run into companies where they're like, nah, everyone knows what we're all about. And ultimately fall short, because not everyone really actually does.
That's a great point. Because the people that do know and love you, they're not going to be sick of the story.
Right.
And you cover the many people who don't know. So right. It's really a risk-free kind of way to go.
Yeah. Now, I understand, and you touched on this earlier, Pepsi is a partner here at Ocean Spray.
Yes, Ocean Spray has a great distribution in large format retail outlets like grocery stores, club stores, mass merchandise like Walmart and Target. But really, the soft drink companies have the best distribution in all outlets, in small stores, pizza shops, delis, convenience stores. So in North America, Pepsi is our partner to distribute Ocean Spray beverages in small packages. And they're also a partner throughout Central and South America to distribute all of our products. Since we don't really have a built-in distribution system, they're really our full partner to distribute all packages and all retail channels in Central and South America.
Now, as we approach the close, I imagine that we have to give a shout-out to JG, Jonathan Gassman. Any final thoughts for the audience of Mind Your Business?
Well, no final thoughts other than I really appreciate you having me on. I hope that I'm helpful to your listeners. If people want to run a business, consider a career in consumer packaged goods. It's a very, very fruitful career and a lot of fun.
Well, a very special thank you to Ken Romanzi, Chief Operating Officer at Ocean Spray Cranberries, for sharing some really incredible perspective on managing an international brand right here on the Mind Your Business program on 77 WABC. Ken, best of luck in all your endeavors.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Ken. We're going to take a short commercial break, and when we come back, we will be on with the president of Best Payroll, Hadley Margolis. Stay tuned.
Your company website is crucial to your success. Providing information about your services and programs, it has to deliver just the right message, the right way, to make customers excited about what you offer and interested in working with you. Online, you have to be on the money to make the money. So go with the best. Website with Brains. Their experienced team will plan, write, design, and program a winning website that combines simplicity and flexibility with powerful features that will make you the king of content marketing marketers, and they make it so easy. All of their websites are made with an easy, user-friendly interface. Website with Brains will have your new website up and running within 4 to 6 weeks. Take control of your online marketing today. Call Website with Brains for a free consultation and see how they can improve your online presence. 1-800-WEB-9018. That's 1-800-WEB-9018. Or visit them online at websitewithbrains.com.
Join the upcoming Day of Jewish Unity. On Tuesday, September 8th, Jews worldwide will gather in prayer during this time of danger and peril. In just 3 weeks, Congress will vote on the Iran nuclear agreement, with consequences of epic proportions hanging in the balance for the future of Jewish people and democracies worldwide. The Jewish nation must join together and act now. A projected 500,000 Jews will turn to their age-old weaponry and wage war. Prayer. Show your support by committing to participate. Visit JewishUnity.com. As we approach the high holidays, join approximately 500,000 Jews in reciting Psalms chapters 20 and 130 on Tuesday, September 8th between 7 a.m. and 12 noon Eastern Time. To learn more or to join as a corporation, visit DayOfJewishUnity.com. It's a time of danger, and we must act together. It's a time of unity, a time to entreat the Almighty for the sake of the future of the Jewish nation and democracies across the globe. Join this Day of Unity and pray that Congress be enlightened to make the correct choice for a better future. Visit JewishUnity.com. Tuesday, September 8th, a Day of Jewish Unity.
And we're back. Thank you for tuning in this Sunday night on a Mind Your Business program here on 77 WABC. On the line with us, we have none other than Hadley Margolis. He is the president of Best Payroll, and he is our corporate spotlight on the Mind Your Business program this week. I will just give a slight off the cuff remark here, and that is I'm actually a client of Hadley of Best Payroll, and can actually say from firsthand experience. So this is not just promoting Best Payroll without actual knowledge of how efficient they are. He runs a fantastic company that handles payroll. My company was doing payroll through QuickBooks for a very long time, and my accounting firm had said, you should reach out to Best Payroll. You won't even realize how much more efficient the process is if you use a payroll company. And I've been very, very pleased. So I just have to give that testimonial at the outset because it's true, it's genuine. And Hadley, are you with us?
I'm with you. Thanks for inviting me.
Yes. And thank you for being with us. So this is a very fascinating topic because any successful company is dealing with payroll. So we're going to jump in. I have a lot of interesting questions really to ask you, and if there's something that it particularly is something your company handles, of course, again, so directly. Sometimes it might just be a topic that you'll be familiar with, so there's a variety of questions. Now, as a payroll and human resource company, what actually does Best Payroll offer its clients?
We offer where everybody is paid, either through check or electronically. And now I push for electronic direct deposit into people's accounts. We pay the taxes from the employee and the match from the employer. We make sure everything is paid timely. We offer a human resources package where the employer is all set beforehand, not when he gets an audit and he has to start scrambling, but he has all the employees fill out the paperwork beforehand, all the I's are dotted, all the T's are crossed. He's doing everything properly. He's not missing any overtime issues or anything like that.
Well, okay. Let's say, again, my own company was doing it internally for many years. So I drink the Kool-Aid, as they say. But why, if let's say someone isn't, why? What would be your case why it's important for a company to actually outsource and use a payroll firm such as yours?
Any size company is doing payroll, as you mentioned, and if you're a very small company with only a few workers, is this what the boss wants to be spending his time with, making sure the employees are paid and then remitting government money to the various governments, to the federal government, to the state, the city? You have a local tax. It could go over there also. Or do you want to know, I'm going to grow my business, I'm going to know I can make one phone call or one email, get everybody paid, and everything is done?
Yeah, that's true. And again, you're preaching to the choir here, but not everyone realizes it, and that's why I'm going to be asking you these questions. What are some of the most common mistakes a business makes regarding payroll and H&R?
Common mistakes? Well, I always tell all clients that you have to document everything. You have to pay overtime over 40 hours. You'd be surprised how many people choose to ignore that. But the most common error, that's a good question. I would would say the most common error is when people misclassify a worker. They'll say he's management and put him down as a salary, and then if he works 50, 60, 70 hours, they don't pay him overtime because they say he's management. Just saying you're management salary won't do it. You have to have ability to hire and fire or recommend to hire and fire. You have to be making a certain minimum wage, you know, much more than, you know, $7.25 an hour. I think in New York State it's about $6.30. The federal government wants to raise that to over $1,000 or $970. People get in a lot of trouble with this.
Now, I incorrectly said H&R. Obviously, it's HR, Human Resources. Next question. Any recent news affecting a in the world of payroll?
Oh, there's a lot of news. This one is out effective tomorrow that before you hire a worker, you want to do a criminal background check. You want to do a credit check. People want to do that. They want to know if he's good on his credit, he's probably a good worker. New York City eliminated that. You're not allowed to do credit checks as of tomorrow.
Very interesting. I mean, even though that could be telling information to an employer.
Right. I know when I go for automobile insurance, they want to do a credit check because those tend to be the better customers, have less accidents.
Very interesting. Very interesting. As many payroll services are online-based, and pay stubs are sent electronically, here's a question that every employer and anyone, really employees, can relate to. Is there any security concern? I mean, not is there any. There are definitely security concerns about how this sensitive information could be compromised. How does a firm such as Best Payroll deal with that?
That is a real concern. And for employees, like we said, employees have access to see their W-2s and their stubs, but they can't just go online. They can only go if the employer gives us their email address and we send an invite, and they have 72 hours to respond to the invite. Then they can go online. They can't just go online. We also do not allow any IP addresses from outside of the country. There's various countries that their gross national product is based on breaking into sites, and we don't allow any non-American IP addresses. And we're also, every 90 days, making you change your password, and you can't use last 10 passwords. It's a real pain, but it has to be done. Has to be done.
Very interesting. We're on with Hadley Margolis, the president of Best Payroll. Now, we're not done yet, but just if someone wants to get in touch with you, how can they reach you?
They can email me at Hadley, H-A-D-L-E-Y, at bestpayroll.net.
Okay, can you please repeat that?
Hadley at bestpayroll.net.
Excellent. Another question here about HR, human resources. Why is that so important for any size business?
It's so important for any size. I'll tell you, today I was down on Varick Street representing a client who did not listen to me. And he had one guy. He was doing him a favor. He was quasi-homeless and just having him do odds and ends. So he didn't punch in. He just paid him a flat $200 a week. The employee then went to the Department of Labor and said he was working 59 hours a week. The client didn't have any backup, didn't have him punching in, didn't have him signing in. He had nothing for him. They wanted $12,000, most of it going to the employee, and then penalties for not keeping records and everything else.
So, I mean, this brings the question, many companies work with an honor system. How would you advise? I mean, you understand the complexity of this.
Right.
You know, let's say a major store where employees punch clock. Okay, that's I understand you need that. But what about in a in many type of especially service firms, maybe attorneys or accountants or a marketing company, for example, where there's kind of an honor system that you you know, you expect everyone to be honest and it balances out. Is that improper?
It's not necessarily improper. But it's not the best business practice. You're right, you got people, if they come 15 minutes late, you're not going to dock them, or if they want to leave an hour earlier, or if they want to go to a kid's recital, you're not going to do anything. but you want to be covered in case the employee later says, I was working 60 hours, I wasn't management. The fact that you let them slide on this hour or that hour, you've got no proof. If you have them either punch in through their computer, which is the latest, or have them sign in and sign out, then you're covered. In this particular case I mentioned before, it was about two employees, the one that claimed he was working 59 hours, and then there was another employee who claimed that over 40 hours he wasn't paid time and a half. Now, on his that one punched in, and he punched in 9 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 9 o'clock every single day. So the boss said, I know he's lying on this because it's not possible every single day to punch in at 9 o'clock. Sometimes it would be 8:59, sometimes 9:03, it would be various times. So he was willing to let that slide, but in the end it cost him because he wasn't having the exact time. Then the employee complained, you didn't pay overtime in the over 40. So it hurt him. So you want to be a nice guy. You have to offset that by the fact that you must have records.
Wow. Now, on this point, what are some of the best practices in employee time management to actually, in terms of executing this concept, what advice could you give?
Well, if you have to sum up it, it would have to be documentation. You have to have an employee manual where you have which days an employee is allowed to take off, which holidays you're closed on, what time you close, what is expected, how much sick time you're entitled to, how much personal time, how much vacation. It has to be non-discriminatory. You can't just say the females only have to work 38, but the males 40 hours, and document everything, everything, so there could be no complaint later. Another case I had very recently was where the employee claimed he worked straight through lunch. Normally, if you work and take an hour break for lunch and you work 40 hours, the employer does not have to pay you. He could pay you 35 because you took an hour lunch. So if the employee goes and claims, I didn't take lunch, I worked right through it, and you don't have a manual that says it's mandatory that everybody takes lunch, you're going to end up having to pay that guy for those hours.
Very, very interesting. Now, these type of laws vary from city to city, state to state?
Yes, city, county, state, federal. Federal supersedes, but the federal is usually lower. Like the federal minimum wage is 7 1/4. In New York State, it's 8.75. Various other jurisdictions, it's higher. So you go whichever is more strict.
Very interesting. Now, we're on with Hadley Margulis of Best Payroll. Another interesting question, I mean, that unfortunately is prevalent, and it happens. I mean, there's the crazy story that happened a week ago at the television station down in Virginia, terrible story. What happens when a company needs to discipline an employee? I mean, are there any tips on that?
Right. If you want to discipline an employee, you do it in writing, and you say exactly what he did wrong, and you say we would like you how to correct it. If it, let's say he's always absent, or in the case in Virginia, he needs anger management, tell him we recommend you take anger management classes. Please tell us when you've completed this. This is a warning. If it improves, we'd love to have you continue. If not, it will lead to your dismissal, and have him sign it. So something always happens at that point. Either he storms out of the room and refuses to sign. In that case, you put down, refuse to sign. Or he realizes the error of his ways and says, okay, I'll do better. I'll take the anger management. I'll come on time. And he signs it. Either way, you're covered. But if you don't do anything and just 2 months later you say, okay, you're fired, he's going to say why, and he's just going to build up the anger and go postal, as they say.
Very interesting. Now, does your firm also handle preparing an employee handbook?
Yes. We give with the human resources package, you get a free handbook made according to your specifications, which holiday days off, your working week, etc. If some people are closed the first week in July, the last week in December, all the rules are specified in there for you. And then we can also post it when the employee goes to look at his stub. It says, important notice, and then he has to click on it, read it, and then accept that he read it. So you'll have proof that he did this.
Very, very interesting. And what is a, for a company that wants to get an employee handbook done, what does such a thing run in terms of fees?
It depends how many employees, but you're talking normally $1,000 to $2,000.
Interesting. Well, I can't thank you enough for being with us on the Mind Your Business show. Again, I personally am a client of Best Payroll and know how good and efficient they are. My firm, Bottom Line Marketing Group, was doing it internally. So I shouldn't say a leap of faith, because my accounting firm had told me, said, you know, it's really time, you should go to an outside payroll company. We did. And Mahadley's firm is called Best Payroll, but for a very good reason. He actually does a great job. He is Best Payroll. How does someone get in touch with you, Hadley?
They could email me at hadley@bestpayroll.net.
Okay, and can you please repeat that for our listeners?
hadley@bestpayroll.net. Hadley is H-A-D-L-E-Y.
Well, Hadley, thank you so much for joining me on the Mind Your Business program. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Take care. And when we come back, we'll take a short commercial break. We'll come back and do a quick wrap-up before the end of the show. You're tuned to the 77 WABC, the Mind Your Business program. We'll be right back.
Join the upcoming Day of Jewish Unity. On Tuesday, September 8th, Jews worldwide will gather in prayer during this time of danger and peril. In just 3 weeks, Congress will vote on the Iran nuclear agreement, with consequences of epic proportions hanging in the balance for the future of Jewish people and democracies worldwide. The Jewish nation must join together and act now. A projected 500,000 Jews will turn to their age-old weaponry and wage war. Prayer. Show your support by committing to participate. Visit JewishUnity.com. As we approach the high holidays, join approximately 500,000 Jews in reciting Psalms chapters 20 and 130 on Tuesday, September 8th between 7 a.m. and 12 noon Eastern Time. To learn more or to join as a corporation, visit DayOfJewishUnity.com. It's a time of danger, and we must act together. It's a time of unity, a time to entreat the Almighty for the sake of the future of the Jewish nation and democracies across the globe. Join this Day of Unity and pray that Congress be enlightened to make the correct choice for a better future. Visit JewishUnity.com. Tuesday, September 8th, a Day of Jewish Unity.
Your company website is crucial to your success, providing information about your services and programs. It has to deliver just the right message, the right way, to make customers excited about what you offer and interested in working with you. Online, you have to be on the money to make the money. So go with the best. Website with Brains. Their experienced team will plan, write, design, and program a winning website that combines simplicity and flexibility with powerful features that will make you the king of content marketers. And they make it so easy. All of their websites are made with an easy, user-friendly interface. Website with Brains will have your new website up and running within 4 to 6 weeks. Take control of your online marketing today. Call Website with Brains for a free consultation and see how they can improve your online presence. 1-800-WEB-9018. That's 1-800-WEB-9018. Or visit them online at websitewithbrains.com.
Thank you, George, for the cue. You're attuned to 77 WABC, the Mind Your Business program with Yitzhak Saftlis. By the way, a couple of shout-outs. Of course, I have to give a special thank you to the producer of this program, Pesach Tropper. He's not with me in the studio this week. He's manning the fort, as they say. We're juggling a lot of high-profile projects right now, very exciting projects. And again, you'll hear about them in the coming weeks. Also, special thank you to Jonathan Gassman. He was the one who facilitated the interview that we had earlier in the show with Ken Romanzi. In case you missed it, what's the best way to hear it? Well, can't go back in time, that I know, is they haven't invented that just yet. Apple may have that in sometime in the near future, but haven't seen it in any of the journals, but you never know. But anyways, there is still another magic trick for that, and that is to go to wabcbizradio.com, wabcbizradio.com. At some point, we're going to even update the look of that. In fact, a couple of weeks ago, we had Stephen Aldridge, who talked about how often a website should be updated in terms of content and even an overhaul. Now, we don't need an overhaul because the site is fairly new. It's only 2 months. But here's the point. There is a podcast section on there, and you can access any of the amazing interviews that we've had on the show. The interview with Dr. David Lieberman, a New York Times bestselling author, the interview with Bill O'Reilly, the interview with, I mean, the list goes. What about Captain Sullenberger? Captain Sullenberger, Sully Sullenberger. What an amazing interview that was. He talked about, I mean, really, we understand his life story is the amazing landing in the Hudson of his U.S. Airways jet that went down and saving the lives of 155 people. Well, as we approach the close, you could also follow me on social media. You can connect with me on LinkedIn, like me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter, Yitzhak Saftlis. And I just want to thank the wonderful listeners for tuning into this great program. Every Sunday night, we're here on 77 WABC, the Mind Your Business program airs. And we thank you for joining us. Join me again in the future, 77 WABC, 11 to 12, every Sunday night. Take care.
77 WABC Radio presents Mind Your Business, hosted by founder and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saftlis. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday night from 11 until 12 for this intriguing weekly radio show that's chock full of business insights and marketing strategies that will help you get ahead of the game. Host Yitzhak Saftlis has been producing pioneering and creative marketing work for over two decades. He leads a team of marketing experts who help their clients build their brands and grow their businesses. Now, he brings his business and marketing expertise to 77 WABC. Tune in to Mind Your Business every Sunday night from 11 until 12, right here on 77 WABC. This previously recorded program featured Kenneth G. Romanzi, the former Senior Vice President and Chief Operation Officer of Ocean Spray Cranberries.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.